this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Hard Rock Lunch Box. I'm not a Krusty Krab.
Greetings and salutations, members of the Hard Rock Lunchbox, and of course, listeners of the Top 20 and viewers of the Top 20. My sincerest and deepest apologies for being late. I had a very good reason. I actually work for a living, and work has been, I think the technical term is no joke this week. It has been really, really bad. Actually, just want to... Oh, wait. Let me just tell you what date it is, in case you were wondering. It is a pretty goddamn nice April 25th, 2024 outside, at least here in the Northeast. The week we have off from soccer decides to be absolutely beautiful. I am very thankful for that. Although the game we played on Sunday was beautiful. We had a 9 o'clock game, and it was beautiful from about 9... in the morning, from 8:30 in the morning till about 11 and change, which was really just really nice to be out on the field, and then to not be out on the field the rest of the day was good. But yeah, let me just go right on record and say that I had actually considered not doing the show today. I'm in a situation at work where there's just not enough time to do. We all get into situations where we just don't have enough time to do the job we're doing. I mean, unless we're like your average American worker that's busy playing solitaire or just not doing their job. Like, legitimately, if I worked every minute of every hour that I was scheduled to work, I would not be able to do the tasks with which I've been tasked to do in the time frame I've been tasked to do them. We're going through a very large migration that has been stunted and delayed through no fault of my own for several weeks, and now they're still holding to the deadline of the migration, which between you and me, I don't think I'm going to make, honestly, but it's probably going to look very much like I'll get the bare bones done, and then I'll just spend time fixing everything afterwards. That seems to be what it's going to be. I have a meeting after the show here to kind of go over pretty much exactly what I just said. But I was going to not do the box, but the reality is I'm already well over 40 hours for the week. And I am going to crash and burn, honestly, if I just don't take some semblance of a break. I've been working 10, 11 hour days easily. And it's just, honestly, it's just too goddamn much. And what's going to happen is I'm going to start making mistakes and stuff. So I figured the mental break of everything that this show provides me, at least, as selfish as that sounds, was worth doing. What I'll probably do is during the second half, during the box, so I'm just playing music. I've got a bunch of good music. I'll probably just play a bunch of music. And while that's going on, instead of managing, other things for the box like I usually do, I'll probably just go back to work. My main station is right over there, so I'll probably just do that. So that's cool. I mean, I've got a lot of... I set it up so I have a lot of stuff that's currently running that just really needs monitoring, which technically I can kind of do from here. It's a lot of slow-moving stuff because it's syncing data across servers around the country and around the world, really, in order to get this migration done. So there's just a lot of stuff I got to monitor. Like, one of the things that I was monitoring yesterday crapped out around 4 a.m. And you know who wasn't monitoring that at 4 a.m.? And it's not that I wasn't awake, but it could have done it. Anyway, so if you wondered why I was here, that's why I'm here. If you didn't care why I was here, you're just glad that I'm here, that's good too. If you don't care that I'm here and don't want me to be here, I don't know why you're still listening, but I don't know. I've got a lot of viewers on YouTube Shorts that, really kind of hate pretty much everything I have to say. But there seems to be 35,000 of them, so... Not people, views. I'm just stunned by the amount of views and the amount of hours that are, watched for people that disagree with absolutely everything I have to say, which is just so funny to me. So much stuff I feel like talking about, and now I'm starting to filter those things through, oh my god, am I really gonna do that? And then I think the funniest comment I've seen so far in a short that was also mean, like funny and mean, like mean funny, famine, I don't know, was like, hey, this guy watched this video and decided to put it out anyway. To be fair, that's not always true. Like, I really do run it through an AI generator, and like, I kind of just look for a little bit. I skim it at best. Like, some of them I watch, because some of them I'm pretty interested in. I will say there's been a lot of traction on the one I was talking about, bad parenting and stuff, for, you know, the parents that bought the kid a 6 hour and then decided to send him to school and not tell anybody. Surprise, everybody. You thought a pop quiz was bad. Hey, come on. I do want to start the show, even though I started it already, but I want to start, I want to restart the show, if you will. Just come back with me in time. Or whatever that sound is. I don't have that sound. Is it this? Wait. Is it this one? That's right, Jimmy. It's not that sound. Anyway, my way back machine. I just want to go back. Pretend we're at the top of the show. What I want to do is I want to just say a very humble and gratitude-filled thank you for everybody that showed up for the show on Friday at Mr. Beery's. We had well over 20 people just for us. The room itself is actually, you know, pretty well, like well over 60, maybe, you know, not even including the bands and staff and stuff like that. I wasn't expecting that. I really wasn't. I wasn't expecting a lot of people to come out. I mean, I figured like probably like 10, 12 or whatever. Like, that's kind of what I was hearing. And you know, a lot of it's my own fault, and it's not really about fault. Like, I knew what the show was. I knew it was a Beery's show. I knew there was a limit to how much I could promote it. You don't get to do advanced tickets at Beery's, so it's really like whoever shows up day of kind of thing. Which is fine. Like, I actually like that for that reason, because moving tickets is a pain in the ass. Like, I've got tickets for our Shaker show, which is our next show. It's going to be the 25th. The show after that, that's going to be in June, is not going to have tickets, and that's going to be infinitely easier, but it's always going to be significantly less of a draw, because people with a ticket in their hand are much more likely to go out. Like, I don't know how many people have been like, had a ticket in their hand and they're sitting on the couch and being like, man, I don't feel like going out, and then don't. But I know if you don't have a ticket in your hand, you're like, man, I don't feel like going out, you probably won't. So not having a ticket in your hand is a super powerful motivator for not going out. But according to the rosters, we did, or the check-in sheet, we had more people than I truly expected. And it might have just been like a coincidence and people really had nothing better to do. But just looking at the people that did show up, I feel like they were all people that showed up because they are fans of Rebel 9, friends of ours, and basically just our local area family. And that, you know, this is going to sound very stupid and very silly, and maybe you'll get it and maybe you don't, but like, that strikes a particular place in my heart when that sort of happens. When you kind of look out and you see like who showed up to see you, there's definitely that mix in our core group of fans where like, yeah, you know, I think they really are Rebel 9 fans, like at their core, but I feel like, musically speaking, but I feel like they're just Rebel 9 friends at their core. And I feel like that's what went down on Friday. It was really nice to see pretty much all of Craving Strange show up. Like, that was completely unexpected. I didn't ask them to, like, because I didn't want to put that on them, but like, it was really nice of them to show up. You know, we had some family friends show up, like there's a group of three that, like, the Rosenhagens that I've known Brian since he was in high school. Brian is actually thanked on, like, he's thanked by name on the Razorblade Diaries, like in the liner notes. It's about how long I've known Brian. Like, I've known him since before he could drive, and now him and his wife Amanda and his father Kurt, like, they show up, and Kurt's been coming to shows like since the Evenflow days, and he actually laments as much as the rest of us that, like, you know, we're not at Evenflow anymore and there's not a place. But he's out in Pennsylvania now, and he's like trying to get us actively to come back out to the V-Spot, which is great because we played the V-Spot a few times. So we're going to try and do that. Like, that's how, like, deep-rooted, you know, fans they are. And it's always just good to see them because they're, you know, like, they're like family outside of family. So, like, Brian was a friend of my my oldest when they went to school together. That's how I know him. But then, you know, our local kind of family group that, like, everybody that I'm speaking to right now knows. Like, it was just, it was so warm, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Like, I just, it was like, there was a whole bunch of, like, oh, thanks. You know, like deep felt, like, truly meant it. Like, you know, there are shows where it's like, hey, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming. You know, hey, thanks for coming. But, like, this was like, oh, man, thanks for coming. Like, really, like, it really meant a lot to actually just see, you know, so many people kind of come out. And then, like, well, of course, like, while we're playing, what was interesting about the show for me is that we played out of 9 songs, and one, you know, one of those was even a cover. So out of the 8 Rebel 9 songs we played, 6 were new. 3 were singles that I, you know, I would imagine any Rebel 9 fan would know because we've just been pushing them for the past 6 to 9 months, like Side Out, Into the Afternoon, and Aaliyah. The next single will be Inside. I think I'm going to push that for just before the June show. But then we had 3 brand new songs that, like, maybe if you're real, if you've been to every single show, you might have heard once or twice different versions of it. But we're going into the studio, let's see, it's the 25th, so in 2 weeks we're going to the studio to start recording 3 new songs. And these were the 3 that we played. And what I really just dug about the group of people that showed up and the fans that showed up, and I guess the songs and our production process with our producer, is that they like those songs. Like, they may have never even heard them before, and they still, they're out there, you know, bopping and swaying to them. Like, they get it. Like, that is a huge good feeling for a songwriter, especially somebody about to go into record. Like, if you're dropping a song in front of somebody that may have never even heard it before, and they like it, like, right there, like, that's a good sign. Like, that was the reason we decided to add Aaliyah to the last batch, because we had just started playing it, and people were like, yo, that might be something you want to consider to record. And we did. And, you know, Aaliyah's doing incredibly well right now. I mean, I think the video is approaching maybe 1,000. It was approaching 700 a couple of days ago. And like I said, I've just been super swamped. And, like, for, like, zero promotion, like, that's all word of mouth. Like, I'm going to try and start promoting it next week after this migration is over, if this migration is over. And then we'll see, like, what with a little nudge that thing can do. Because I think it's an interesting video, and I think it could actually catch on a little bit. Like, I don't know about viral, but you never really know about viral. So I'm not pushing for viral, but I would like to get it in front of some other people. Point is, I'm completely off track. I know, shocker. But I wanted to really thank everybody that came out. It was really nice and unexpected and super pleasant. I am sorry I didn't get to talk to everybody as much as I wanted to talk to everybody. I was trying to talk to everybody and stuff because I wanted to do that. I realized it's been an incredibly long time since we've even played locally. I mean, the last local show was an Unplugged show in December, and only I played that. And honestly, I didn't get to talk to a lot of people that night either, but, like, I don't even remember the last time the band played live locally. So, like, that was a reason for that. I just haven't seen all these people in a very long time. So, but I really super appreciate that, and I kind of needed that, if that makes any sense. Like, I've been feeling a little slighted is not the word. I've been feeling a little, I want to say, underappreciated as a band lately. And Friday night and the turnout really kind of did a lot to erase all that. So I'm super grateful for that all by itself. But I'm super grateful for the weight that actually removes from me and the band going forward. I still have a lot of shows, like, I might want to do this year. I don't have a lot booked, but I'll figure them out. But I will say I'm much more encouraged to do these things because of that response. So again, thank you very much for all that. I really do appreciate it. In terms of, like, current events and stuff like that, there's probably, like, a bunch of stuff going on. Like, I really don't know. I had some stuff that I had wanted to talk about. Oh, we should probably go through some light housekeeping. The brand new top 20 is out. It was aptly titled "Your Kid Is Trash." Which I mean, by the way, you know, not your kid, obviously. Your kid's fine. But, like, I was just sort of just talking about, like, you know, parenting and, like, all the, you know, what goes into it. Like, if your kid is trash, like, it's because the parenting job you did is trash. I mean, aside from, like, certain psychological maybe problems with, you know, whatever genetics you threw into this new being, like, you know, it, seriously, like, if your kid is an asshole, it's because you raised them to be that way. And I can't just say that I got lucky a few times, right? And just, but, like, you know, I think some real work went into those things. I mean, it is funny when I talk to, like, my kids these days, and it's like they are pointing out, like, whoa, they, you know, why is all this other stuff going on? And why are these people doing this? And you got to be like, well, some people suck. And, like, they get it. They understand, like, why that is. Like, people just can't seem to do function. You know what I mean? They just can't seem to do things. Like, you know, I talk to people sometimes about, like, people that get hired, like, in their jobs and stuff, and it's like they're not capable of doing their jobs, and yet they're doing the job. Like, they're at the job, but they're not doing the job. It's like, I would be mortified by that. Like, half the reason I'm in such a bad spot right now with the job that I'm doing is because I'm going to push myself to the point of exhaustion to try and get this thing done. You really think somebody else is going to do that? Then they're going to hit 5 o'clock, that whistle's going to go off, and they're going to Fred Flintstone themselves right down the dinosaur tail and, like, off to get home to, I guess, Wilma and Pebbles? It's been a while. Definitely to get home to Barney. Hey, come on. But, like, it's striking to me that people don't understand. Like, there was an article I actually wanted to read. It popped up on my Apple News, and it was about, like, what do parents do when they don't want their kids? And it's like, I laughed out loud because it's like, I just always think of that Homer Simpson thing where it's just like, you know, why do I have to have 3 kids and no money? I wish I had no kids and 3 money. Like, it's so funny to me that, you know, I've said it over the years, and my kids will say it back to me because it's funny. But, like, it's just, I don't understand why people have kids and don't want them. Like, it's so easy to not have them. Like, it's just such, it's such a good idea. And with, you know, 8 billion people on the planet, and a lot of them a C, you know, C plus or less, like, maybe there should be a few less people. And I just, I get bogged down in why this stuff has happened. Oh, sorry. So, yeah. So, your kid is trash. Check that out. Battles of ideology, vetting jurors, and all that other stuff. The Trump trial is still going on. Obviously, it's been kind of interesting to just parse some of the, this is good, this is bad, this is, like, I mean, I like the main criticism right now is, like, you know, paying hush money isn't illegal in New York. And it's like, okay, like, that's fine. Like, it doesn't need to be illegal. Like, but I think cooking your books to hide it was what was illegal. But, like, the pushback is like, no, that's not a crime. It's okay. Like, all right. So, yeah, on Bacon Is My Podcast, you get the full interview with Leah Martin from Monday. The discussions and drinks from yesterday is Spring Break Chad's Starbucks Spicy Lemonade. So it's definitely worth checking out. All that stuff is on Stranger Hit TV. If you're at all interested, and I am not promoting this at all, I'm really just telling you this as my listeners, if you're at all interested, I do have a Hard Rock Lunchbox YouTube channel that is exclusively for the shorts that the AI generates, because it's almost impossible to, well, it's not impossible, it's just incredibly time consuming and difficult to post anything manually as a short on Stranger Hit TV, because I can't connect up to it because I'm not the owner of the channel and stuff like that. So, and it's all, you know, a lot of hated stuff anyway, and the channel doesn't really need that sort of thing since it's more music oriented and more Bacon Is My Podcast stuff. Like, you know, I'm feeling more of an outlier every time I speak about most things, unless it's music specifically. So, but if you want, on YouTube, you can find them. They're all shorts. It's Hard Rock Lunchbox. It's probably at Hard Rock Lunchbox. I don't know. That's how much I'm promoting that, because I don't even know what the address is. But if you search for Hard Rock Lunchbox, you'll probably find all the shorts. And it's funny because the AI figures out what it wants to say, and then it captions them, which I still think is funny. But you can see all that. And more importantly than that, what's fun is to go through some of the comments. Like, I have stopped. I've turned off all notifications. But I do notice that some things get, like, 0 views. Some things get, like, 10,000 views. And I don't understand the mechanism behind it. One of these days, maybe I'll give it a shot. feel like there was something else I did actually want to talk about, but I can't seem to remember for the life of me what that was. I guess if it comes back to me, I'll bring it up. But I did want to say the thank you about that, about the show. That was important. We are headed into the studio. I mentioned that. The last single of this last batch, Inside, will be out sometime in June, probably just before that show. Yeah, book some more shows and blah, 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 a couple other things. I will say I got a really nice compliment from Jimmy after the show. You know Jimmy, right? It's always a no. He said, I'm going to paraphrase, and I know that the internet loves when I say paraphrase because they think it means lie, and I'm telling you paraphrase means I don't remember it verbatim, but this was the gist of what he said. We covered that a few episodes ago. In case you're not smart enough to know the difference between the two, go back a couple episodes and check it out, because unlike you, I don't need to actually relearn what paraphrase means. But he said, roughly, that he was impressed with like what we were doing songwriting-wise, and just that everything always seems to improve, including like our numbers and the response to what we're doing. You know, just kind of just in that spot where we're probably like at the top of our game for song production, songwriting and song production, which is just like, it's a nice compliment to get anyway. Like, I really do appreciate that when I get that from anybody, but to get that from somebody that does exactly what I do and can sort of see that trajectory and what is happening, it means a lot. Like, you know, it means a lot every time like a production team member like kind of says the sort of things. It actually matters to me when my band says stuff like that. You know, it does sort of keep the pressure on, like, oh my god, is this song gonna suck? Is this the one that sucks? But I mean, like, that whole mental near breakdown is what the song Last Song from G Davy is all about. So if you're interested in my thoughts on that from about 15 years ago, give that a listen. Just about being worried about like if you're gonna write your last good song, which clearly I'm happy to say I have not done yet. But like, you know, I do have some songs that I'm like working on. It's like as we're in the throes of this, and it's like, boy, everything's really good. Like, this is good. This is good. Oh, wow, this is even better than that. Like, it adds a little pressure. Like, oh, my God, so everything's got to be great. And I actually just had to sort of walk off that because one of the things I kind of realized while I was talking to Jimmy about it is that I am not trying to outdo anything. I'm not trying to, like, I spent years after the success of San Jose and the Razorblade Diaries, just trying to recapture that. I watched other bands do that, and I actually spoke at the time a lot about bands trying to do that, like chasing the dragon of like that hit song. And I saw a lot of good bands really just waste a lot of time doing that. And it was a very hard lesson for me to learn, because like this song succeeded. Like San Jose for a long while, like I don't know honestly how it ranks with our current fan base, but for a long while we could go anywhere, certainly in the Northeast and definitely across some of the country, and play that song and people knew it. I don't know why that is. I really don't know. I never knew why it went as far as it did, but like, you know, people would cover it, people did, you know, people would share it, and I think that's how that kind of just got out into the ether like that. But I do remember playing, I don't even remember the place, but like we were in like really deep South Pennsylvania, maybe, like, I don't think it was quite Ohio, but I remember playing it, and there was this look of recognition from one of the other bands. And then I talked to them after. He's like, yeah, yeah. He's like, I knew that song. I just didn't know it was you guys, but I knew that song. So, you know, I took that as like, oh, okay, San Jose is what we need to be doing. And I would try and rewrite that song. And my producer at the time, Eddie, to his credit, like kept slapping me down. Like, there's a song on the Reality Crush called Waylo. And Waylo in the original version actually had an upbeat sort of bridge. And the chorus was upbeat too, but the way it transitioned to this upbeat was this total San Jose ripoff, because that's what I thought I was supposed to be writing. And I really needed to learn that that's not the case. If you're constantly just trying to write what you've already had success with, not only are you dating yourself, but you're locking yourself into a lack of creativity because you've already done that. Now, as somebody that tends to write songs in pairs, because I'll have enough ideas for like two good songs or three bad songs or three mediocre songs. So I usually end up with two songs. Not always. Like, I always write in pairs, but like maybe only one ever makes it into a batch. Like Aaliyah is a good example. Aaliyah is an example of just a song that just, that was just it. It was just all by itself. But like, you know, a lot of the new ones, like we're at the Shakers show, we're going to be playing a song called Nothing At All. We've played it once or twice. It's kind of like pop punkish. And then there's a brand new song that's currently titled Tony Omaha that nobody's ever heard. But they are like sister songs. Like, and you'll hear, like, we play them both. You'll be like, those songs sound alike. And that's how that kind of worked. So, like, I'll write in pairs like that. But the point of it is that if you keep trying to write like what you've already done, like, you really have nowhere to expand to. And the reason that that matters is because, like I was saying, like, I'm not trying to write anything anymore. Like, I had this come to Jesus moment with the band and songwriting where I realized that, like, the chances of me doing this for a full-time career at this point are slim and none. And there's a couple reasons for that. My age, for starters, and my exhaustion level for also. But also, it's a much younger game right now. And I know that that sounds silly and stupid, but, like, I don't want to be on social media all day long, every day. I just don't. At this moment, in this time, I do not want to do that. And because I don't want to do that, I am basically shooting my musical career in the foot. Any band that seems to be doing a good job is doing a ton of that, and getting some sort of success is doing a ton of that, and I don't want to. It does not interest me at all. That might change, but currently that's where it is. So, like, kind of once I came to that moment and that realization, the freedom and the weight lifted of having to just write for this or that or whatever, for this person, for this level of success. And once you don't have to do that anymore, you get to write kind of whatever you want. You know, I'm still holding true to what Rebel 9 kind of sounds like, but I'm definitely pushing that envelope a little bit. And I'm not interested in dating, you know, doing like really old songs. Like, just because I like Pantera doesn't mean I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff. So that freedom allows me to just sort of write what I want to write. And because of that, it seems, or it would seem, that I am free to do whatever. And if left to that device, I am still capable of writing a really good song on occasion. So that's just what that conversation says to me, which is a really great sort of, hey man, I think you're doing the right thing kind of moment. And I gotta tell you, I do not get a lot of those in my life. I don't. I run into walls and barriers and frustrations all the time. And I have famously spent the bulk of my life fighting those things, like Don Quixote in his windmill. And it doesn't get you anywhere. All it does is wear you down and beat you down. And it's just not a good place to be, and I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. Yeah, fight the fights that are worth fighting, for sure. But trying to right the wrongs of the world with the sheer force of your will, while it can be done, and I am living proof of that, it's just really not a good way to proceed, especially if you want to do it for a long time. Like, you know. That's just my unrequested few cents of advice. I guess it's time to play some music. It's definitely time for me to shut up. So, welcome to the rest of the box.
Here we are alone again. There's something here we can't pretend, but we will fight it stubbornly. I know you know, I know that you're guard down for a change when some things just can't be explained. And let's not waste another chance to be the lucky ones. If you would simply follow me, then I would never leave. Under the impression that you feel the same as me, and you feel the same as me, yeah. Time has passed. passing by so quick. Don't be afraid, don't be so thick. And let's not waste another chance to be the lucky ones. If you would simply follow me, then I would never leave. Under the impression that you feel the same as me. 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 Pretend I'm under the impression that you feel the same as me.
Okay, Squirt here will now give you a rundown of proper
Hard Rock Lunch Box
technique.
Good afternoon, we're gonna have a great
Hard Rock Lunch Box
today. Okay, break the hard cut back as you hit the wall.
Trying to speak to me, I know it!
Ah, some classic off the turnpike going. Also classic for a little bit. It's definitely been a hot minute, at least since we came across and shared a stage with Charetta. But, yeah, still a real big powerhouse around here for years. Nice to see them. At least most of them still involved in music. I like seeing that.
Nice. Is there a D nice? If one of y'all says some silly ass name, this whole class is gonna feel my wrath. Now, D nice.
Do you mean Denise?
Son of a bitch! You say your name right now.
Denise?
Say it right.
Denise.
Correctly.
Denise.
Right.
Denise.
Right.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
That's better. Thank you. Now, Aaron.
Cutting off of the sounds, muting it out with our head in the clouds.
Yeah, we were talking about a farewell fire at the show on Friday night. It's always just, it's always so funny, like, what a good band, like, they were. Like, they really were. You know, and I never really want to take anything away from Eddie or Ignite, but I will say, like, it's not the first time that I've heard reference to just what a tremendously gifted guitar player Eddie is. And not, I don't want to say it's a shame that he doesn't play guitar in Ignite, because obviously he plays and records and does all that other stuff, but, like, I don't know. Like, I just, like, I feel like I'm a much better guitar player than I am a singer. And when, before I was singing, like, I played leads all the time. I was a much better guitar player then, too. Like, you see, like, I opt to not play a lot of leads now. But, you know, because I could use the break on stage. And honestly, like, you know, what is Kaz even for? Like, if he's not doing leads. So it's more of a social decision, really. Whatever. So I had a story about Shredda that it always strikes me funny. So they haven't done these in a while. I don't think. But they used to do the Good Times Battle of the Bands, I think it was. No, the Long Island Music Festival is what it's called. I would love to bring that back, by the way. And I might, actually, just if I get some time, just to bring that back, but do it the correct way, because it was done so poorly. It was really done poorly. And this is coming from somebody that made it to the finals. So, like, it was really done very poorly. But my first show with Shredda, and I knew who they were. I knew who they were because I knew the band Shadows Lie, and CT, who would go on to start Gotham Rocks, was in that. And CT, Carrie Tamora, was in the band Shadows Lie, and that was our very first show as G-Davy, where with me on vocals. So that's where I met him, and I knew that. And I think at the time he was dating Angelina from Shredda, or would-be Shredda kind of stuff. Point is, I knew who they were by the time they played together, but I'd never played with them. So they were on their first record, Defying the Inevitable, very different band than what they ended up being. But we were playing, I forget where it was. I think it might have been what ended up being what is now the Village Pub. I can't really even remember. This is going really quite a bit back, like 2008, 2009 maybe, so just well beyond my ability to remember. But what I do remember is that for the Long Island Music Festival, which was kind of a big deal out here at least, you could just submit, and, you know, if you were good enough, you were accepted into play. But it was, you know, a lot of it was basically, the first round was about your draw, just completely about your draw. And there were a handful of city bands. Shredda was one of them. 13 to 1 was another. And there was one other. And they came out into play. And like I said, the first round was all about, like, attendance. And who would vote for you. Like, paper votes. And I will never forget this because I think it was Angelina from Shredda, but a couple other members of Shredda could not believe that they were playing to less than like 30, 40 people. It was like, this never happens to us. And I was like, do you play out on Long Island often? And they're like, no, this is our first show out here. And I was like, what exactly do you think happens out here? Because it was the first time that, like, I was actually able to explain to a city band the huge advantage to playing in the city, because everybody lives within 40 blocks of each other, and it's super easy to, like, subway or back then taxi, or just walk to a venue. Like, it was super, super easy to bring 40, 50 people to a city show. We used to play in the city all the time and could actually draw numbers like that, like 25, 30, like, easily. We weren't even from there. And they came out here and they played for maybe 3 or 4 people. And they were just stunned that was the case and that had happened. And, like, we trounced them because, like, as loyal and great as our fans are for Rebel 9 and stuff like that, the G-Davy era, like, we had so many people. Because there was a lot of people, a lot of kids, like younger people, but also a lot of young adults that hadn't started families yet. A lot of, you know, I talk about this a lot with like late 20 somethings about how they just have nothing to do, so they need something to do. So if you give them a show to go to, they'll just show up to it. And you'll see as bands get older, that fan base drops off. It certainly happened to us, and that we had to earn the fans that we have. Sometimes we have fans that are on the other side of that family stuff like that because we just had them so long. But like, that is a very real thing. There's a real hole in your like 28 to like 37 age group where people are just busy doing other things, that they just don't want to just come to your show because they have nothing else to do. I mean, that's a very big donut hole in the demographic game for being in a band. So, but when we were GDAB, we were kind of like before that, the early part of that donut hole. But we probably brought 70, 75 people, you know, to some really, really shitty show, like in the early days of the summer. We probably played really early, and then obviously we beat all these city bands because, like I said, it was only attendance. But again, the purpose of that story is just the look on their face, because they just could not understand. And these bands, like Shredda, would go to play, you know, play in front of 1,300 people or 1,500 people at Irving Plaza with pretty much ease because they were a big city band. And when you have 8 million people at your fingertips, that's what happens. And, you know, everyone doesn't have to drive to the venue, so they don't have to worry about drinking and all of this stuff. So, anyway, that's a big Shredda story I've always laughed about. Also, the fact that Angelina, I've known her for about 15 years, and every time I see her, she reintroduces herself to me, which I think is funny. But that's for my enjoyment, not yours. It's cool. Pathmaker's still doing their Pathmaker thing. They're going to be at the Fall of the House Fest, or whatever. They announced the full lineup at 89 North. I am not going. I know it's coming up. I just can't even bring myself. So, but I will keep supporting Pathmaker because I love those guys.
Parade. Rule number three. You will not cry, or whine, or laugh, or giggle, or sneeze, or burp, or fart. So, no annoying sounds, right?
Does this count as annoying?
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Very.
just after 1 o'clock, which means we have made it to Mel's musical moment. I was going to go muffle. Questionable. I need Mel's Mel's misguided musical moment. Yeah, let's go with that. What do you think, Jimmy? It's a work on progress. I have no idea where she finds these things. And honestly, I'm glad that I don't know.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the goat. Goat Spice. Not to be confused with Posh Baby or Scary Spice. Goat Spice. Jackknife Stiletto in indefinite hiatus, it would seem. I wish they would just go ahead and release that last record already or something, because I wrote a song on it, god damn it. Trying to not be selfish about this, but I would like to hear it. Although I do have the vinyl behind me, but yet no real record player. So there's that. So, the year is 19 blah. Seattle is about to explode with some of the greatest bands we would ever see in the rock world, including one band called Pearl Jam. Now, Pearl Jam is super divisive and divisive, depending on how you pronounce it. I don't really know why that is. I like Pearl Jam. I like what I like with Pearl Jam, and I could pass on the stuff that I don't like. Technically, my drummer owes me $200 because he bet me that we never covered a Pearl Jam song, and yet I proved to him that we covered Corduroy not once, but twice. I have yet to see that $200, nor do I expect to ever see that $200, because I'm not going to take money from a dummy. Like, that just seems mean. I don't take candy from babies. I don't take money from dummies. But I will tell you that the first two Pearl Jam records, 10 and Verses, I think are some of the greatest music ever written in the past 100 years. And that is not something I take lightly. That being said, it has been a very long time since I've heard a Pearl Jam song that I really, really liked. Even with the addition of Matt Cameron, who is probably my favorite drummer on earth. He's the original drummer from Soundgarden, or the known drummer from Soundgarden. And I think one of the greatest drummers ever. And just their styling is just not so much for me these days. But they released a brand new record. I can't remember what the name of it is, but I know the song is called Dark Matter. So I grabbed it without even so much as listening to it, so we could listen to it together today on The Box in a segment I like to call What Do You Think of the New Pearl Jam? Yeah, it's not the best title. I know. This isn't the best show, so it fits.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Check that out. Asking Alexandria coming out with something good for a change. Ooh, the kid. I don't really, but yeah. So, this next song and band is a band I've never heard of before. Tuesday night, Kaz actually brought them to my attention. They're a band or a group called Polyphia. I have not had a chance to look them up more, but they did a song with Chino Moreno from Deftones, so I listened to it, and I was like, this is cool. Like, there's always a good time to hear Chino, right? Like, in my opinion. But I thought it was interesting enough that I wanted to bring it to everyone's attention in case they want to do some research on their own before I get to do more research. So the band is called Polyphia, P-O-L-Y-P-H-I-A, and they do a lot of stuff like this. Maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't. Regardless, it's next on The Box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
All right, this band popped up on my core? Yeah, I think the core playlist from Spotify. I'd never heard of them before, I don't think. The band is called Archers. The song is Drag Me Out.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
You ever just get hit with like an overwhelming wave of hunger, like where it just like kind of knocks you out a little bit? Like, get a little nauseous, get a little lightheaded. It's a function of your blood sugar just dropping, which is not something I've had to deal with for a very long time, but because of the stress and lack of stress management, I feel like it's just sort of taking me out a little bit. So if I start to babble some, that's kind of what's going on. In the meantime, I saw this one today, today on one of the playlists that I follow. I thought I knew the band Bad Omens, but I think I knew the song Bad Omens, but I kind of dug it. Maybe you will too. It's called The Drain. It's on The Box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
That's right. That sound means only one thing. It is time for your weekly craving of the week with, of course, Craving Strange. I have given a listen to some of the one of the new songs. There's just at least a rough idea of what it's going to sound like. And I will tell you, the new Craving Strange sounds absolutely fantastic. I was super, super honored to even be a part of it. Yep, that's right. Yours truly is a part of one of the new Craving Strange songs, which is nice to be asked. First time I've actually ever been asked to be on somebody else's record. Well, that's not true. Vocally. Guitar-wise, I've been on other people's records, but not vocally. It's first time vocally. But I have no idea when that's going to be coming out, but I am excited for when it does come out because I do want to play it for you. But I am stuck playing the incredibly large collection of Craving Strange music that I have anyway, so it's really not all that bad. Not right, Jimmy? Am I going to play that song today? Nope. We're going to play a little bit of Ashes. Hope everybody's ready for the middle part. I might even talk during it, or I might get some work done. One or the other.
So much for what's happening after. I'm left here in the afterglow. Here keeping your secrets. Dead leaves have the sins below. Well, can I be honest with you now? I don't believe in ever after, but there's a part of you that I just can't put down. Will you be honest with me now? 'Cause if you break me, I will shatter, and all the pieces, pieces will scatter like the ashes, and they all fall down. I hope they're the last ones who ever have to be the ones to have it all torn down. Over and over, when is it over? Now I know what you're after. There's no fear when the ceiling's low. The sunset on the words that'll keep you. There's new skin where the seeds have grown. Can I be honest with you now? I don't believe in ever after, but there's a part of you that I just can't put down. Will you be honest with me now? 'Cause if you break me, I will shatter, and all the pieces, pieces will scatter like the ashes, and they all fall down. I hope they're the last ones, whoever have to be the ones to have it all. There's a part of you that I just can't put down. Will you be honest with me now? 'Cause if you break me, I will shatter, and all the pieces, pieces will scatter like the ashes, and they all fall. Hope they're the last ones, whoever have to be the ones to have it all torn
over. God, when is it over?
What a pretty song that is. That's Samson from Regina Spektor. And we are officially out of time. Yeah, it's bananas. I can't believe we got through another Hard Rock Lunchbox, which I fully intend to do next week as well. So please stop by for that. Will that be the... We're going to be in May? Are we really? Is that a thing? What is the 24th, 25th? Holy shit, yeah. It's going to be May 2nd by the time we do another Hard Rock Lunchbox. May, goddammit. May! I don't know where time goes. I really don't. It goes too fast. It goes too slow. It just doesn't do what you want it to do. And I just can't seem to fix it. But at least we have Thursdays, right, people? Don't worry. I got something for you to put a smile on your face to help you get on with the rest of your day. Possibly one of the dumbest / greatest songs of all time. And I want you to think of me when you hear it. And just remember, if the cream's been out too long, you must whip it. I'll see ya on the box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.